Yo,
what's up, man?
What's up, man? All right, what's going on, guys? Today I have former Michigan basketball player, and you guys all know him from Twitter, Ant Wright. What's going on, man?
Chilling.
Same here. So yeah, first I want to get into, obviously, because probably a lot of your followers are gonna be listening, but for those that don't know mine, Ant actually was a part of John Beilein's first recruiting class in 2007, right?
No, so I came in with Amaker and redshirted that year.
Okay.
Once he was let go, my first year playing was with Beilein.
Okay, because I remember you were saying that you were part of one of his first recruiting classes. So, I guess talk about that. Like, I mean, did you guys know coming in that he would kind of build the brand to what it is today?
No, I mean, it was first thing you have to do is, he came in a very tough spot because a lot of the upperclassmen graduated or left. So what he had to do was kind of build the culture up from rock bottom, culture that hasn't seen an NCAA tournament in, years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more about, the mentality, getting everybody on the same page. And that first year was tough. And then we made the tournament the following year. So that kind of allowed us to understand that, he did know what he was talking about. And but we didn't handle success very well. And we had some injuries. And then we kind of fell off the following year. But the best thing about it was he was able to continue to adapt and develop himself. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how he got to be a much better coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I remember watching an interview with them, and I don't remember exactly the year that they got good again, but he said, his first 4 years were pretty tough. And I think that fifth year was the one they broke through. Were you on that team, or were you gone?
No. They broke through. He basically did D'Antonio, he had his guys, and he wasn't going to let them go for anything.
Yeah.
And that was part of the sinking ship. Beilein didn't do that. He had guys who he was very close with that he pretty much let all of them go and then rehired, like, pretty much an entirely new staff. A staff that, he can trust to coach. And he was meeting with people outside of basketball on how to let go of the reins a bit, where he doesn't need to do everything. So I think a combination of the two really allowed Michigan to just pretty much take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy to see where it's turned into from that, like how it started. But the next thing I wanted to talk about, I know a lot of people probably don't even know this, and I didn't, but I didn't realize you played at Oak Hill while you were in high school. And right. About this, you told me you visited Texas, and I think you said you went with Katie to Texas.
I think it was like one of my stories, but we went on a recruiting visit to Virginia Tech. It was me, him, and Ty Lawson. And just like watching the coaches like corner Ty, and us two were just sitting there kind of like awkward, was peak recruiting story. But when Illinois lost to North Carolina in the 2005 national championship game, we were all at the Oak Hill head coach's house, right? So we're just in there just chilling and then watching this game. And right after the game, Ty Lawson goes, "Man, I want that. I want to commit there." And then Kevin goes, "Yeah, I want to commit too." And then and then Kevin called his mom like that night or the next day And he was all happy on the phone saying he's about to commit. And then his face dropped. And all I hear is, no, she said, you are not about to commit there. You better calm down, relax, go to your room, take a nap or something. But she pretty much told him no. And then, so that's kind of how he ended up. I thought he was going to either go to Texas or UConn. But that's how he ended up at Texas.
That's funny. Cause I was going to ask you, did you ever get to play with him at Oak Hill? That was,
yeah. So question. I've known Kevin since we were like 13. Just like it's hard to explain, but like when you are one of the, if you're like, say like a top 30 basketball player in your area, which isn't saying much, but if you're in your little area, if you're like a top 30 player, you're going to run into each other all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of that's what we did. We ran into each other for a long, long time. And so from like 13 till we were like, 18, you know, we either played with or against each other. So.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm assuming I don't know if you're from where he is, but he's from Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
right?
So I'm from Sterling, Virginia. If you've heard the term DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, that's it. So I live in Sterling, Virginia, but I can get to College Park, Maryland, and watch the Terrapins play 30 minutes away. D.C. itself is about 30 minutes away. So everything is right there. I can hop on the metro and get to wherever I need to go in Maryland or DC, but it's basically all it's almost like its own state. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's very interesting. Obviously he's turned into probably one of the 10 best players ever.
Right.
Who knows?
Which is also weird to me.
But yeah. Obviously the next thing I wanted to get into is where everyone wants to hear. So Michigan and Michigan State's, I don't care what team you want to talk about first, but both of the season in review, I guess. So I guess we'll talk about Michigan first since that's your team. So what do you think of the year one under Juwan Howard and I guess the future of the program?
I mean, year one was okay. It kind of sucked not having Isaiah Livers, and that was a test for Juwan to just see how he does. And before the year, I said, look, the basement for this team, I believe, is going to be 500 in the league, right around 19 or 20 wins going into the Big Ten tournament. And that's what they were. And that was without having their top one or two scores for, what, like 9 games or something?
Yeah.
Right. Like so overall, it was okay. And it sucks not being able to finish out the season due to what's been going on and what's been happening. But it's just one of those things where, you know, this was his first year, and him being in his first year as a head coach. I mean, like, you know, like so many things go into it, and you could just hope that, you know, he continues to improve, especially in this downtime, just improve as a coach, watch as much film as possible. But it was okay. It was okay.
I agree with everything you said too, because I don't think it's the coaching the recruiting that's worrying people. It's the coaching. Like I say, the best thing that he did last year was, and I going into the year, I was like looking at your roster like, oh my God, like your depth was awful. But it didn't turn out to be that bad. But one thing I will say, and I know you'll agree, is he has to get better at, you remember like when Teske would always guard the big man and he would get eaten up and they would never replace him? I think that's something he definitely has to get better at, though.
Not so much of replacing him, but, you know, you can't attack teams with just one scheme. You have to continue to change it up. You can't have the same team defensive concept throughout the entire game, especially in the Big Ten, where I've said this before, that the Big Ten has the best coaches from top to bottom, you know, in a league where Fred Hoiberg finishes what, second to last, and
yeah,
you know, you have freaking Chris Collins at last. like it is a very hard league. It is a very well coached league, and Brad Underwood is a very good coach himself, and he totally revamped the way that he coaches. His philosophy, he totally revamped it because of how tough the Big Ten is. So he's going to have to be a lot better with his different schemes that he does and all that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Overall, it was a good season. It sucked, like you said, not seeing the tournament, even Big Ten tournament. To see, you know, like Xavier and Cash just go out with another bang. Right. But with that being said, what is your thoughts on the Michigan State season? I mean, I know you're not a State fan, but
yeah, so,
I'm sure you watched.
So, I mean, they finished, 14-6. There's no – Maryland choked a big one. There is no reason why. There's no reason why Maryland did not win outright by multiple games. But they choked big time down the stretch. But you know, that aside, Michigan State, they had a tough little go there, but then the way that they finished the year off was very, very good. And I can see why, you know, State fans are pretty, let down that they couldn't take that momentum and carry it on to a postseason where, in the NCAA, no scary teams this year. And very similar to last year, no scary teams. And, you know, they could have easily had another Final Four run based on their, you know, bracket and all that. But solid year overall, especially for not having a backup point guard for the second straight year.
I know that means Foster, but no, I agree. Yeah, I think, with the March Madness, like you were saying, like my brother was telling me, and I was like, yeah, I didn't think about that. Why I think we could have had success is if you look at all the great teams, they always have like one dominant player, you know, like Kemba Walker led that team, Shabazz Napier that one year. It's always a team with like one guy. That's where, you know, with Cassius this year, I think it would have helped us. But like you said, who knows? Any team could have won on any given day. But, so what's your deal with Foster? A lot of State fans are always telling me, you know, Ant's a good guy, but he's got to be less harsh on Foster.
I will never be less harsh on him. and it's like this goes back to, man, like back in like 2014 summer, I think it's 2014 summer, and 14 or 15 summer, I can't remember, but I have these kids, right? They're called my minions, who I've been training for a long, long time, and and now they're about to be like juniors and seniors in high school, which is nuts, which is crazy to me. But, you know, I remember when he got a high major offer and one of my minions goes, wait, really? He got an offer? And then I'm telling them, I'm like, if he can do it, you know, you guys should be able to look at that as motivation. And we are on the track. We're on the track. And like, people who don't work out, they don't understand how truly big a running track is. Like, it's pretty big. So,
yeah, I know you're talking about.
So, like, we used to have work, like, you know, we used to work for like 4 to 5 hours every day, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Go play a tournament Saturday and Sunday, repeat Monday through Friday, right? So it was like a Tuesday morning, like 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m. or something like that. We're on the track, and then they're rounding the backside of the track, and I just yell, Foster Lawyer, are you kidding me? And then that would just give them an extra boost of energy that would just let them go. And so, like, I've been keeping track and I've been looking, but, you know, State fans gave me a – they used to throw Foster in my face a lot for some reason. I don't know why. And I told them, I'm just like, he is a really good high school player, but he's one of those guys where I don't see the game translating due to his size. Usually guys that size, they have the cockiness or they have the explosiveness to make up for it. But he didn't have either. And, you know, when he signed and, you know, I was, you know, talking about, like, you know, I would go to some of these games and I'm seeing him against David DeJulius and Brandon Wade. And this is in front of MSU coaches and he's out there getting cooked, baked and sauteed. And I would tweet like, David DeJulius has 40 right now on Foster, or Brandon Wade has 35 right now on Foster. And people would get mad at me. And I'm just like, look, I'm just saying what it is. And then now I'm like, look, I told you this was going to happen. So because you guys gave me a hard time, and if he was killing, you would have given me a hard time. So, I mean, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I can't disagree because you were there and I wasn't. Someone told me, and I was laughing when they told me that you're going to laugh, that he was the second best high school player they've watched in Michigan, just behind Amani Bates. And
was some wild stuff out there. And I'm just like, what? I'm like, who are you guys watching? Like, come on, man. Like, he was really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, he was really good in high school. But the way that he was getting his buckets, like, he would use his body so well and so physical that he could bump off these guys. You can't do that with Big Ten guards. You know what I mean? And he would get to the line, like, 10, 15 times a game.
I don't know what it is. I think he's honestly lost confidence or something, but you know what's funny too, and I didn't realize this, is he played at Clarkson and his head coach is Dan Fite's dad. So that's why, you know, we recruited him so hard when you were like DeJulius or whatever. But I mean, even him, he didn't work out too well for you guys. I'm surprised.
He worked out well in a if, you know, Xavier went out, I didn't mind it. I wasn't afraid of the other team going to a full court press or trap. I wasn't afraid of not being able to run the offense. It sucks that he left because he felt that he could have had a much bigger role. And that's a good reason to leave for him. And I don't mind that at all whatsoever. And I think he's going to do very, very well at Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think he was underrated. I just think you didn't utilize him like you were saying. But with us commitment today for Michigan State, I saw your breakdown. You did a really good job with that. But you think this class for Michigan State is going to be like, you know, a traditional Izzo class, landing guys like Jaden Atkins, Brooks, possibly Kobe Bufkin? You think it's going to be all in-state guys for Michigan State, or do you see him getting like a, you know, Max Christie or Amani Bates to reclassify?
We'll see. We'll see, man. Amani Bates is going to be interesting because of the new G League contract, but he's really, really young. People don't understand that he is really, really young. And I'm not sure if they're going to have lift the age restriction. I do see the NBA and the G League putting in some type of rule to get him in there as soon as possible to make sure that he is a protected commodity. You know, Pierre Brooks is also a very good player. He should play right away because he's already built like a grown man. Like, he is a big dude. Especially when you have Aaron Henry's about to be a senior, right?
No, he's only going to be a junior next year.
Only a junior.
Yeah.
Didn't he, is he messing with the NBA draft?
I someone told me he was supposed to, but he hasn't said anything yet. I'm kind of surprised.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, so, I mean, if Aaron Henry has a big year, look for that. And then Rocket Watts, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pierre Brooks may be able to come in pretty much right away and maybe, you know, start at the two early on. Kareem Mané is still out there for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of moving pieces, and it's really hard to talk about future recruiting, especially when the NCAA is talking about implementing the one-year no-sit-out rule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, so, like, we're talking about this, and then, you know, they put in a rule. The next thing you know, some guy lights it up at some Big East school, but he's like, I want to go to Michigan State and then play right away. You know, so it's going to make recruiting – there's going to be, like, twofold. There's going to be your transfer recruiting, then there's going to be your high school recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, this is going to suck for high schoolers because a lot of people are going to look at that one-year transfer almost as like they're looking at JUCOs, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to open up a flood of weird transfers going to weird teams and weird conferences. And the roster is just going to be just fluid, just continuously changing. And it's going to be super weird. But Kobe Bufkin's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Nakins is a good player. I think they do need to recruit a point guard. Akins will be right there for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, you know, some of the, you know, top point guards. They're going to start flirting with that G League contract. So there are so many more things in play now than even was in play a month ago. So it's really hard to kind of project outwards of what may or may not happen, or who's even going to be
on the roster
available. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've totally forgot about that. Kareem Main. So I've seen you said you don't think he's going to college. Probably going to go to the G League, but is that where you don't see him going to college, right? Just want to get that out there or no?
So Kareem Mané, I think if he does go the college route, I do think he does go to Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, especially when you have like DJ Carton out there committing them to Marquette,
yeah.
Probably going to be available immediately. And then you have Kareem Mané. He's come out and said that he's only focused on college. But he's so old, man.
I know.
He's so old. He's what? He turns 20 next month.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dude is old.
I thought it was 19. Wow.
No, he turns 20 in less than a month. So that's going to be interesting to see what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the only reason, like, people were saying, you know, they weren't sure about Michigan State if he goes to college was because we never got the chance to have an official visit with them. I think if we would have had the official, it would have been a done deal if he attended college. But that's probably what's holding it up, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many factors out there. And especially with the Woj had an article come out and it listed some of the and it listed some of the, you know, the NBA draft hopefuls.
Yeah.
And they had Kareem Mané in there as one of the top international guys looking at possibly making a bypass of college and going straight to the NBA. Same thing with Mocker Mocker. Just a lot of play. And this virus is just making things way more complicated than it should be.
Absolutely. I think you're right. Like, you have like 5 more days to declare for the draft, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, since you were talking about it, I might as well finish it off with this. You know, with all the overseas guys and international, what do you make of all, like, you know, RJ Hampton, LaMelo, even Isaiah Todd, Jalen Green, all these guys going to play, whether it's the G League or just overseas in general? Do you think that's the future of college basketball or no?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you get offered that, you take it.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period. You take it. If people haven't looked at that contract yet, it's very well drawn out, very well done. And the fact that you can't point to anything saying it's not better than going to college. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me anything about branding or anything like that, because that's the first thing they say. Then they say, well, look at Zion Williamson. Like, yeah, Zion Williamson is the only dude who could do what he... There's no... Name me someone else who was 285 pounds with a 40-something-ish vertical.
The only one I was going to say, and he didn't go to college, would have been like LeBron at Ohio State. But other than that, he wasn't 285.
LeBron wasn't almost tipping 300.
No, but you know, I mean, like, right. I meant with the exposure and stuff that Kyle right. Zion brought.
But the, but, like, they always go to Zion 1-1. They always go to this generational player, mm-hmm. who would have had crazy, crazy branding either way, right?
Exactly.
But they can never answer, what did going to college do for RJ Barrett?
Yeah. It honestly hurt him, though. Honestly. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I'm like, you know, what did going to Duke do for RJ Barrett? Yeah. What did going to UVA do for DeAndre Hunter's branding? Like, these are 2 top 5 picks.
Even,
you know what I mean?
Even like Cole Anthony. Didn't help him.
It hurt. Not make it his stock has dropped. He would have been drafted higher if he had opted out going to UNC and just trained all year.
Exactly. It's crazy.
You take that. If you get approached with that and they sit you down and give you a presentation and they're telling you that they're going to give you $400,000 to $500,000 plus being able to sign with a shoe.
Endorsements, yep.
You take and they also give you a 4-year scholarship to graduate from college.
I don't think people are realizing that what you just said, because as Jalen Green said, it gives him the ability to go back to school if he wants to.
And people don't know this, but a lot of players do that. In their free time, in their off season, they will take part-time courses. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of them want to go into business and all that. So a lot of them take part-time courses. And that's why you see guys randomly graduating when they're in their mid-30s. Because they took like 8 credits a year and they finally got there, you know?
Yeah, that's funny you bring that up, though. And that was one thing I was going to ask you, too, about, you know, like, say for players like Isaiah Livers. And I get asked this a lot and it irritates me. Isaiah Livers and Xavier Tillman. They'll be seniors next year. And a lot of people say, well, Tillman wants to get a degree for, you know, to show his kids. And I'm like, you guys got to realize he can do these classes in the summer while he's in, summer league. Do you think that's a big deal at all or no?
No, it's not a big deal. Exactly. He can always go back and get his degree. Like, that is not an issue. And that is not an issue at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use your athletic ability at your prime, because you only have a limited time to be at your athletic peak.
Mm-hmm.
You can, there is no peak for getting your education. You could be 80 years old and go take classes furthering your education.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, I totally agree. That's what I've been saying to people for months. It shouldn't affect that decision.
Not at all. Not at all. And then I get the people who are like, well, maybe he just likes being being in school. I'm like, shut up. Like, that was what?
And that was the fun part when you asked about Aaron Henry, is the guy that was telling me, you know, he might declare. And this kid, I mean, he told me about Mel Tucker coming, so I believed him. But, you know, he was like, the main reason was because they don't think Henry loved school. And I was like, I totally believe that. Like, kind of how Jordan Poole was, where, I mean, no one thought he was going to go first round, probably not even you. And, you know, if you have that good combine and the team loves you, you know, that's where I think it hurt players not having that combine. Like, even a Franz Wagner, for that instance, where they could have showed off, you know what I mean, their abilities.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't know that Poole was going to go first round until 2 weeks prior to the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started talking a lot of stuff.
So you knew he was – did someone tell you, like, Golden State's picking him or not?
Yeah. No, so I heard that he had two guarantees late in the first round. And I found out the morning of the NBA draft that the Warriors were looking at him. And then if they don't get him, the Spurs will get him next.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, good for him. And he played into it because he went and worked out with the Warriors, right? And then the Warriors invited him back later on. And usually when that happens, they're like, wait a minute, let's see that again. And he came back and busted tail again. And and they were sold.
Yeah, and that's where I think, you know, like for Poole and even Aaron Henry, for instance, like, and this is no shot at Henry, but I feel like, you know, him declaring, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal because maybe, you know, Poole didn't fit in the Michigan system that well. I know he had that good shot his freshman year, but other than that, you remember his dad was always whining on Twitter. And like, I don't know, I think some of these guys, like, they don't like the college, how Izzo would play Henry compared to, who knows, if he went to an NBA team and he was just free to do whatever and not, you know, getting strangled 24/7.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? The main thing with Poole, I had an emergency pod out one night because I heard that he was gone. So I had an emergency pod, and people were, you know, Michigan fans and the casuals were out there saying how, you know, he and Poole did this, Poole did that. And then I had to go back and explain to them, you know, Jordan had really good tape out there.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch, like, you know, the UNC game, watch, like, before Christmas, if you watch that Poole, he had the ball in his hands, and Michigan was very, very good. But if the ball is in his hands, what good is Xavier Simpson?
Exactly. He can't shoot. He can't move without the ball.
Exactly. Right. So, Beeline, he put the ball more in Simpson's hands in order for him to be in the game because he was really good defensively too. So, it was like, you know, you have to pick what you want to do. And just came down to the fact that he took the ball out of Jordan's hands. Poole fit very, very well in that offense, but he didn't fit well with where he was placed. You know, you can't just put a guy like that in the corner and say, you know, wait for the ball to come to you. No, he was so much better with the ball. And you saw this year, the Warriors put him he started at point guard the last several games. So,
yeah.
So at least they recognize that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that made a difference. So, and what are they going to win, 25 games or whatever?
Right.
But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. But solidifying himself so when the horses come back, he still has a role. Not going into the abyss once they come back. But when they come back, be a part of it, not just be a shadow.
Exactly. 100% agree with you. But that's all I really got, unless you got anything else to add, if you want to promote your Twitter or anything on here.
Nothing to promote, man. Just keep working and having fun. That's what it is.
Appreciate it, man. I'm going to try to obviously edit this the audio out and, you know, get it posted tonight if you want to post it for your followers too to listen.
All right, cool, man.
All right. Good talking to you, man.
See ya.
See ya.